Chapter 11. It wasn't like in the movies where stunt drivers were able to miraculously steer flying cars simply by wrenching the wheel and hanging on, jaw clenched. Thankfully, Lucy's memory of the topography had been close enough that she'd sent the Subaru off the side of the hill at an angle that pretty much aimed her where she wanted to go. The few seconds she was in the air seemed to defy the laws of physics, the concrete wall looming in her windows, filling her vision. But then gravity worked its magic, and the car fell back to earth, slamming into the pavement hard enough to send an explosion of pain through Lucy's foot and to jerk her body against her seatbelt, but not enough to make the airbags blow. Thankful for the SUV's solid suspension that turned the collision into a series of severe bounces, she tapped the brakes and gingerly corrected her steering, wary of skidding into the concrete barrier. The rear fender scraped against the wall, but she kept control, maneuvering the vehicle into the center of the wide paved path designed for bicyclists and pedestrians. The motorcycle. June now clung to her abductor, eyes wide with fear as he spun it fast and tight around the ramp's final switchback, was about 20 yards in front of Lucy, heading straight for the river. As soon as Lucy cleared the concrete walls, she saw the river and a motorboat waiting. Now it was a real race, the Forester and the motorcycle approaching the boat from opposite sides of the landing. Lucy took the straightest path, aiming to intersect the motorcycle and block its route. With limited room to maneuver, she held her course despite the motorcyclist swerving away from the river, obviously trying to steer around her. He was almost past her, close enough for her to hear June scream for help over the roar of the two vehicles, when she slammed the brakes, pulled up on the emergency brake, and wrenched the wheel, spinning the Forester into a controlled skid. The vehicle pivoted, tires protesting, and came to a halt directly in front of the boat, forcing the motorcyclist to also brake hard. Whoever was manning the boat, a man wearing a Steelers cap and dark parka, must have decided to cut his losses because even as the motorcyclist was backing his bike up, fighting for room to cut around the Subaru, the boat's engine growled and it sped away. Lucy flung open her driver's door, aiming her weapon at the motorcyclist. Seth came sprinting down the steps from the plaza above, calling to June. Not exactly the kind of backup she'd hoped for. "Stop!" Lucy shouted. The motorcyclist's face was invisible behind the dark shield of his helmet, but his head jerked in what appeared to be a nod. He pushed June off the cycle, sending her sprawling to the pavement, twisted the bike's handlebars, and roared off, heading down the trail. Lucy almost had a shot, but Seth ran right into her line of fire. Thankfully, her reflexes were good enough that she released the trigger in time. "June, are you all right?" Seth fell to his knees beside June, his hands running over her arms, legs, and belly, searching for injuries. "I'm fine," she gasped. "It all happened so fast." He pulled her into his arms, but kept his head raised, searching around them for any threat. Lucy called the details into Pittsburgh law enforcement. "I got a fair look at the guy on the boat," Lucy told the dispatch operator. "Early to mid-50s, Caucasian, brown hair, Steelers cap, sunglasses, black parka, jeans, nothing distinguishing." "How about the boat?" he asked. "One engine. It was good-sized, though." She closed her eyes in thought. She'd approached the boat from behind. Surely there was a name. "Name started with K-A-T. Wasn't very long, one word. I couldn't see the rest. Katrina, maybe? We have several other callers from your incident. EMS is also en route. I'll relay that the scene is safe for them to approach." Lucy hung up and assessed the situation. "How are Oshiro and Walden?" she asked Seth. He glanced up the hill, panicked. "I'm not sure." Seth helped June up onto her feet. Her knees were scraped, but no other apparent injuries. "We need to get her out of here, now." Urgency tightened his voice. "I'm on it." The Forester wasn't going to get up the hill. She slung her bag over her chest, then took her cane and left the Subaru behind. As the three of them trudged up the steps, Lucy keeping her weapon close at hand and watching for any other attackers, she called Taylor. "Can I borrow your car?" "Sure," he answered absently. "Why not sign out a pool car?" Because they have GPS and paper trails, and according to you, our guy is a poetic hacker, and someone just tried to grab June. Wait, what? Where are you?
Plaza beside the Hofbrau house.
I'm on my way. She turned to June. You are sure you're okay? Want to get checked out?
No. June rubbed her belly. She's kicking a bit, but everything feels fine. I didn't hit that hard. It wasn't far to fall.
Maybe we should take you to the hospital, Seth said. His arm circled around her, keeping her so close their bodies touched as if he could act as a human shield.
No,
June repeated more firmly.
He found me in a hospital before, remember?
How did they find us? Seth asked, his gaze circling up and down the path.
Wish I knew, Lucy answered. But I think we shouldn't stick around here while we figure it out.
They made it to the plaza at the top. Oshiro still lay at the curb, a group of bystanders gathered around trying to help. His face was smeared with blood, one eye puffed and swollen, the skin around it split, and his expression black with rage. Walden knelt on the pavement beside him, holding pressure on Oshiro's arm, but only using one hand.
Son of a bitch, Oshiro said, pushing up to one elbow, grimacing with pain. June, are you okay?
She smiled at him. I'm fine, thanks to Lucy. I'm so sorry.
He shook her words away. No, I'm sorry. It's my job to... Taylor arrived, screeching to the curb in his yellow Mini Cooper, cutting short any more conversation. He jumped out, took in the scene.
Man, I miss all the fun.
The more serious a situation, the more Taylor's warped sense of humor appeared. Usually, it was a good way to diffuse the tension, but Lucy had no time for it now.
Keys, she ordered.
He dropped them in her hand. Seth was already helping June into the front seat. The car wasn't as spacious as the Forester or as inconspicuous as Lucy would have liked, but it was the best she could do on short notice.
Is he going to be all right? She asked Walden.
Took a bullet to the arm.
I'm fine, Oshiro protested.
Leave, go with June.
Walden nodded. He let Taylor take over holding the pressure dressing and started to stand. His knees buckled and he landed on his butt. That's when Lucy saw his left side. Blood was streaming from his scalp and his left shoulder was definitely messed up, his arm hanging useless at his side. You're not going anywhere, she told him. Taylor, see that they both get to the hospital, she ordered when both Walden and Oshiro looked as if they might protest. And that they don't leave until they're both checked out. She headed to Taylor's car where June and Seth waited. Seth twisted around in his seat, his posture filled with urgency. If Lucy hadn't had the car keys, she was certain he would have sped off without waiting.
Take good care of her,
Oshiro called as she limped around to the driver's side. The ambulance pulled up, its sirens drowning out any further conversation, so Lucy gave him a salute to indicate that she'd heard. Then she dropped into the low-slung car, her ankle protesting as she leaned weight onto it and adjusted the seat to a semi-comfortable position. Full tank of gas, she noted. Only question was, where the hell to go?